Welcome to Narratives. Ever the writer, even experiencing a heart attack doesn't stop Robert Desai from observing and recording what was going on around him. And he even found humour in the situation.
Sunday night. His face beams down at me like God's from a dome of bright light. Everything gleams. Every blonde hair and his tanned forearm glistens as he fits my mask. It's a glossy, muscled forearm, used to hefting bodies. I've always been very taken with forearms, and this is a singularly lustrous, sinewy example. So tell me, Robert, he says gently, somewhere high up there inside his dome of dazzling light, am I already dead? No, not yet. Soon. Have you had a good day? A good day? I give a muffled laugh, batting away the pain blossoming in my chest. Apart from that, Mrs. Lincoln, how did you enjoy the play? Tom Lehrer, wasn't it? They're losing me. These two paramedics in their fluorescent jackets, and they know it. Even I know I'm teetering on the edge of a big moment, and all the one with the burnished forearm can come up with is, have you had a good day? It's surreal. The doors of the hotel foyer hiss open, and a man, a woman, and two teenage children burst in out of the cold, squawking with late-night excitement, catch sight of the trolley, the body, and the yellow jackets, and hurry off towards the lifts. You know, I croak, as if it were a serious question, as if he really wanted to know, I have. I've had a very good day. And I have. I've walked the dog by the river, I remember. I've reread my play script aloud to myself in the sun, flown off with it at dusk across the sea to Sydney, mooched about, I'd have liked to frisk, in the gritty trashiness of Oxford Street, still rumbling and screeching out there beyond the plate glass windows, and, oh, other things as well. I've enjoyed lots of other things. Now I cast my mind back. Would he want to know the details? Well, that's wonderful, he says, still gleaming. That's what matters. Really? This sounds unlikely. But before I can pick an argument with him, they are trundling me out into the night. I am spasming with cold. A siren is screaming. I glide through the doors. There's a hint of shouting. I slew left. I slew right. There are dozens of jarring voices. I feel clawed at by all the voices. But for some reason, and I know it's strange, even as it's happening, they're all like noises off. My mind is focused on the gleaming forearm and the voice from up inside the dome of light. Have you had a good day? Nobody, by the way, during this not so much interminable as boundless night, asks if I've had a good weekend, let alone a good life. None of the voices jabbing at me ever asks what I think I've achieved in the course of my life, or if I feel it's all been worthwhile, on the whole, all things considered. Nor do I ask myself these questions. Nobody cares at a time like this. Why would anybody care about what I'd like to achieve if they can keep me going for a bit longer? Not a syllable, naturally, about whether or not I finally got to the bottom of things before the curtain started to come down, as I rather hoped to do. Indeed, half expected to do. Surely it was just a matter of a week or two of the right kind of fallow time, but never did. On the contrary, the older I get, the less sense anything makes. Needless to say, nobody checks to see if I finally finished the Proust as I vowed I would before I died, or learnt Sanskrit or the tango or made it to Bhutan. The only question anyone asks me is whether or not I've had a good day. Well, on reflection, that's not quite true. Coming to on this gurney or that, during this night that now seems beyond all thought of a beginning or an ending, I find myself being asked a few questions about who I am, whether or not I have private insurance, and if there is somebody they should get in touch with. Imagine if, at my age, after a lifetime of intimacies, there were absolutely no one. What would that say about me? Yes, there is, I mumble, but tonight he's on a ferry in the middle of Bass Strait. At some point, I seem to remember signing something in the eerie Arctic cold of some brightly lit white room. It's like being on a film set. I stretch out my hand and sign a form. When more lucidly present, I become surprisingly talkative, sliding into my gracious guest role, even offering a little light conversation. "So how are we going here?" I ask affably at one juncture, unaware I've already had to be resuscitated twice and am now bleeding to death. So much brilliant light everywhere, so many voices, but no faces. I can't see any faces. "A little way to go yet," someone says with a chuckle. Nicely put. Could mean anything, and does. What I'm mostly doing is drowning in vibrantly coloured dreams. I'm pixelating woozily. Despite the shock and pain, I'm in quite a good mood. And every now and again, my jangled mind flies back to that sleek and shiny forearm and the voice from far above me, "Have you had a good day?" For some reason, this utterly banal line has wormed its way into my quick, or what is left of it. As I'm wheeled into a vast whirring machine, whir, clank, hold still, clank, wheeze, it strikes me that I... But no, I can't hold the thought. Thrum, buzz, clank. It strikes me that... What? I'm in a lift now. I'm whooshing up into the sky. I zoom past a twisted Jesus nailed to the wall, looking pretty much the way I feel. I come to rest. Soft voices fade into the distance. A rubbery silence cocoons me. At last, I'm alone in the dark. This sudden hush, this enveloping dark, is doubly eerie because just 2 days ago, feeling I should finish it before leaving for Sydney, I hurried to write the final lines of a talk I am to give in Canberra, not next week or even next month, but in the spring. Yet I felt impelled to finish it 2 days ago, and I decided to call it Pushing Against the Dark. It's about lighting a fire, lighting a flare when I write. In order, I think this is what I said, to bring hidden things out into the light. Hidden selves, for instance. My raw or quirky sides. The facets I know some will mock. The unhealed wounds. By the end of the talk, it's clear that I'm really pushing against a much more all-enveloping dark. I write to stave off time. To stave off nothingness. It's as if deep down, part of me knew. But no, that's daft. That's superstitious nonsense. Beyond the window, far away, knifing up out of the blackness, there is a wall of radiance. The city. A nurse comes in with a swish. "Are you Polish?" I ask, wheezing wetly. "No," she says. And with another swish, she's gone. Russian, I think to myself. What else could she be? She said, "No" in English, but I know. She meant "Нет." If indeed she is a Russian, given my predilections and the life I've led, it's another tiny coincidence poking out its tongue at randomness. It's any sense of randomness that saps the spirit. Randomness is terrifying. Anything but that. What was it, though, that I was trying to hold on to down there in emergency? Whatever it was, it's now lying in tangled skeins across my mind. Like me, it has unravelled.
You've been listening to Robert Desai, reading from his book, What Days Are For. Narratives is produced by Karina Wynne-Moylan of Arts Canvas Bay FM 99.9.